Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update Just Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ashwini, who is here to start exploring a topic that I feel certain that anyone who has practiced for any length of time is going to greatly appreciate, and that is managing recording and listening files. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. So, such a big topic, both on a content and a process level. What's your sense of where to begin?
Well, it's so interesting. The reason we are exploring this topic is because, you know, we have a wonderful resource site for recording and listening, like recordingandlistening.org. And we've been getting a couple of questions from people who are new to recording and listening about how to organize recordings. Mm-hmm. And as Sherry, who runs the site, and I were starting to talk about it, we just got to this place of, isn't managing recordings all of practice? And so we wanted to it is all of practice. And so we wanted to actually do two things. One, we wanted to republish when there's a certain theme that's emerging from the recording and listening practice. We usually write an article about it and post it on the website so that something that's an experience of practice becomes a resource of practice, right? And so it sort of ended up being, okay, well, we really want to explore this topic and invite Sangha to write into the recording and listening email and tell us about how what their experiences are and some of the tips on how to manage recordings. Because what we got to as we were looking to writing this article and answering these questions is, A, on a process level, how managing recordings becomes in itself a practice of awareness, and also that everybody has a unique, interesting, and different way of managing recordings, right? And so it would be so wonderful to get the collective wisdom of the Sangha together and then put that on the site. So first of all, to whoever's listening to the show and has a recording and listening practice, if you could send us little anecdotes about your practice of managing recordings and or tips about that, then we can aggregate it and put it on the site. But the thing that
what would be the email address for that, Shoni?
I think if you just go to the recordingandlistening.org site, there's a way you can, there's an email address there to contact the person, the webmaster of the site.
Gotcha.
And or submit an inspiration.
Okay.
So the first thing we arrived at, right, is I think we were looking at this in a group recently about stages of practice, that there's first a way in which you become aware of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and you start to pay attention to it and you realize what conditioning is, and then we get to that place of not being conditioning, and there's an evolution of phases of practice, right? So with recording and listening, the first thing that you start to do when you start to record and listen is, oh my God, I have this fabulous insight, right? If I could only arrange these and work out how to put them in the right folders, and then I'll be able to access that insight. And there's such a level of enthusiasm for the miracle of recording and listening and the wisdom, love, and compassion that we have access to that it initially such a content focus for recording and listening. Until we start to record and listen as a practice, and now you need Google for our recorders, right? Everything has to be indexed. We'd really need to search on a keyword and hashtag that and tag this in order for us to be able to access the wisdom that's there. And that process of going from, which is the process piece we started to look at, right? If you have thousands and thousands and thousands of recordings, you actually get to the place of it's not what recording you're listening to, but whatever arises that's listening to, because you're in the wisdom of listening rather than listening to a specific content, right? And that conditionality of what it's the insight that's going to make me feel better rather than the process of recording and listening that I'm in. That was one of the biggest things we got to.
Yeah, so it's so perfect because, I mean, exactly as you describe it, so it is the same trajectory as practice, but or anything, really. When we first encounter it, there's such that freshness. You know, Zen talks about beginner's mind, and we're just there with it. We're just present. I project it's why I love traveling to places I've never been before. There's that freshness to it, and it just brings us right here to the present moment, and we have these insights and these experiences, and then, you know, conditioning catches up. And so as it catches up, it's so, okay, if I could just manage the recording, then I could da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so whatever our deal is, whatever the process that has created suffering for us in our lives has been there all along, will then come into recording and listening. And we get to see that process start to happen.
Yes, I think you said it very elegantly, right, much more so than I did, where the whatever process that causes us to suffer takes over our practice. And the impersonality of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is visible because the way in which it controls the trajectory of a recording and listening practice is very revealing on the kind of process it is, right? Where the conditionality, it's this recording, this insight that's going to make me feel different, becomes what we start to look for till we recognize that from the wisdom of participating in the process, that being in the process of recording and listening, being in awareness is where the transformation is.
Yes, exactly so. And just one other connection I loved when you were first speaking, and you said, you know, you want people to write in because each person has their own unique way of kind of coming at it. And what I was seeing is, so often that unique way that each of us has, that unique sort of gift or viewpoint or whatever, how life comes to us, is exactly how we're tortured. That's what conditioning also uses to torture us. So very likely, whatever process we're suffering about over our recordings is the same thing. If we really look at it, there's probably a gift in there we have to the Sangha of a suggestion of how to come to know about your recording.
Yeah. Yes, and it's just so useful because really you're practicing with whatever is up for you to practice with in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And so let's just take a couple of examples that Sherry and I were looking at where, for example, if relationship is what I'm in, at this particular time, it occurs to me that I'm going to have a relationship folder, and I have a relationship folder that is organized by month. And every time I make a recording about relationship, I put it into that folder. And then, of course, that's what I'm looking at, that's what I'm listening to, that's what's up. Or because I get to this place where, oh my God, I don't know how to organize my recordings, I have a monthly practice where I record every day, and every day I listen to what I've recorded the previous day, and at the end of the month, I listen to all of my recordings and make one recording that captures all of the major insights of this month, which is then what I store, right? And at the end of the year, I do the same process, and I listen to each month's recordings that are the insights of the month. That's my way of listening to what has happened this month, what I've seen this month, what the highlights are, how I'm different, and then I have an archive of every year of recording insights because that is my process of working with recordings. And you can see how it just becomes your practice, right? You could do that by content. You could do that by focus. You could do that by retreat. I mean, there are so many ways in which you can organize recordings, but your interest in this person and what their practice is and what they're looking at and being curious about their lives and being curious about how that human being is waking up, that becomes your recording and listening practice. And so I guess what I'm saying, right, Jen, is as we look at how we work with our recordings, there's a way in which we really are in a process of practice, in the process of waking up, that we start to get grounded in which moves us from, oh my God, it's that insight, that that awareness, that recording that I have to listen to that made me feel a certain way that's going to make it all, make it so different. There's a context shifting that keeps happening, a wider and wider awareness of what I'm doing that I get to have through the experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Experience of practicing with it. This is the stuff of my life. These are my recordings. Mm-hmm. This is when I was happy, and this is when I was not, and this is the process that mm-hmm. I saw, and this is what happened to me. It's mm-hmm. a very intimate way of being totally alive.
Yes, yes, it's a very intimate way of being totally alive. Amen to all of that. And I think one of the really kind of the salient point I think you're saying is that so as each of us looks at managing our recordings and kind of what, you know, looking at that basically, that it's possible to come at that with just, first of all, complete awareness, because how I do anything is how I do everything. So I'm going to see a mm-hmm. lot about myself, right? But also that we could just add the element of curiosity and trial and error and, you know, just fun with it, and not to believe any more than we believe it in anywhere else in our lives. But there's a way, if I could just, here, I'm going to reveal my own karma, right? If I could just think of the right way, then blah, blah, blah.
That's and exactly really, it. I think you said it really well.
Out,
yes.
To be released out from under that. And for us to know as a Sangha, oh, wait a minute, of course, like everything, oh, everyone deals with that. The voices for everyone try to co-op recording and listening by making it overwhelming and try to and hard and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, good. Now that I know that, I can completely let go of whatever the voices are doing in particular to me around it and just experiment and have fun and share my insights.
Yeah, and I know Sherry Huber, not Sherry, who works on the recording and listening website, had a fascinating practice of of using digital recorders and listening to a whole year of recordings from 5 years ago right now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. what was it like 5 years ago? What karma is the same? What conversations was I having that I'm still having, right? And what insight, how different I am, because the insights that I'm looking at right now are completely different. The point being, I think, Jen, you said it really elegantly, right? The process that we bring, the process of suffering, the karma that we've got around, the karma that we've got, we bring to the recording and listening practice. But the practice of recording and listening is really an awareness practice, right? That we get to see everything and see through everything through the process of participating in doing recording and listening. So it's fine that I can't organize my recordings, right? Or I find that I start to organize them in some way, and then suddenly it's still, I can't find the recording I want. It's too many files in one folder, and I have to reset my organization system, and then I see what I see about that, until I get to the place where, like life, I just need to be present. The recording that shows up is the recording that I'm listening to right now, because no amount of trying to control the process is going to give me the outcome that I want. And to me, the moment you lose your entire set of recordings, which has happened to me about 5 times in my practice right now, it's the San Mandala moment, right? The transiency of life, the impermanence, whatever you want to call it. You really get to that place of, oh my God, I just lost 5 years of my life, 5 years of my practice, 5 years of my insights. And actually, I didn't lose anything, because I'm a completely transformed person. And if anything I need to know, I need to know that insight is going to arise from wherever it arose before. But you have to have that experience of losing all of your recordings to get to that place of, oh my God. Right?
Yeah.
It's a practice.
Yeah.
It's my opportunity. And so I love the way that it's the tool, it's the process, it's the awareness, it's the practice. It's a recording and listening. It's the whole of practice. It really is. It's a mechanism or way by which we can encounter everything we need to transcend if we approach it that way.
Yes, yes, and I'm just smiling. I know we've got to go, but I'm smiling at the wisdom of life, how we each get what we need, because that's never happened to me. And just the other day I was thinking, I need to delete some things, but I can't be in charge of what I'm going to delete. How am I supposed to know what to do? I wish it would just burn down and I would never, right? So I know, it's just so perfect how we each get to encounter what we need to encounter. I love it.
Yeah, I know. And I'll tell you one other thing, right? I used to get these apps on my iPhone in order to be able to name my recordings and name the folder of the recordings and then make sure that I have a hierarchy of date and topic and that each recording has some tags on it so I know what the recording is. And then I just uploaded it to my computer because I ran out of space on my iPhone. And of course, when you transfer it, all of the names disappear.
Oh my God.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, now it's a surprise. And you see the attachment, right?
Your process
of relationship and the life lovely way of saying, okay, this is going to go. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah. I just have this image of there we all are, organizing the love, right? Okay, I've got a file for this love, and then I've got this. And then it just, at a certain point, and this is my experience with recordings, which is why the image dropped in, it's like, there are way too many. I completely give up. So I just record things when I record them, and then when they shuffle around, often I'll hear a recording from 6 years ago that says, of course, I'll never hear this recording again, and here I am listening to it a year later. So.
Yes, and it's so fresh, and it's so new, and it's so interesting, and
and you just fall in love with the person who made those recordings, and it's just, we could go on and on.
Yeah, and then who made this recording, and is this, I mean, you can see the conditioning in a way that you've never seen it before, and so I think what it comes down to is just have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
It's the organization of it is a process that you look at, but recording and listening is just, it's awareness practice, to let go of that need to orchestrate it for it to be to be a certain way that reflects me. That's what I think we have an opportunity to let go in practice and in this practice as well, in the practice of recording and listening.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to, I really think it's worth circling back after we do hear from Sangha on the website and continuing the discussion because it's just so rich. So thank you so much, Ashley.
Yeah. See the article forming already. So if people have some tips and tools on how to do this and what they've seen in doing that in organization, please do submit it on the Recording and Listening website.
Okay, great. And thank you so much for being with us, Ashwini, to begin the exploration.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And Jen?
Yep.
Can you hear me? So on the Recording and Listening website, there's an email address here. Would it be helpful to share that?
Sure. Can't hurt.
Okay. So this is under the Contact Us section, and it's recordingandlistening@livingcompassion.org. So that's all written out, no spaces, no underscores, just recordingandlistening@livingcompassion.org.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
Have a great show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
That was fun.
I'm grinning over
Good
here.
Conversation. Yes.
Just talking about just one of my absolute favorite subjects.
Yes.
And I was laughing as they were talking about it because I'm challenged in a lot of ways with things like technology. Just my brain just doesn't work in a way that kind of relates to computers and that sort of thing. And it never occurred to me to even think about doing what they were talking about.
Oh.
You know, it just never occurred to me that I would ever organize anything, because the recording instrument is mysterious past record and play, right?
Right.
Anything else would just, it would just, yeah. I mean, I would just, it would just never occur to me to consider that. So it was fun to, it was fun to listen to it. And to get to that place that Jed and Ashwini were talking about, where when I stop and look at it, I can see my whole life in that.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Right? But that I do that exactly the way I do everything else and have for my entire life. So that in itself is a, is just a, yeah, it's a, it's fun to, yeah, it's fun to see that.
Kind of like how I do anything is how I do everything.
Kind of like that, yeah. And I think there's just such a comfort or a relaxation or a whatever it is when we finally get to that place, as they, as they were talking about, where I'm actually more interested in how this human being is than in trying to make this human being be some conditioned idea of how, in this case, she should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because I've never experienced any loss or lack or deprivation or anything because of the way I do this. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely, I'm utterly happy. I love it. I'm as passionate about recording as, and listening as I was the first time it dropped in and I talked to somebody about it. More so, way more so, actually, because now I have years of doing it. It's good. As Ashwini was saying, it is all practice. If we're looking at it that way, we can see everything about ourselves and everything about practice in this one tool.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so if I'm hearing you correctly, rather than another practice tool for me to perfect myself in some way, it's just another opportunity to see how I do whatever I do.
Yeah, and to enjoy him.
Yes.
Really to enjoy him, which is why we're doing this, I think. We could call it ending suffering. Yeah, we could call it ending suffering, or we could call it enjoying the human incarnation. It's all the same process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Got some announcements?
Yes, I do. Back by popular demand, an email class with you, Sherry, on death and dying will provide a framework to bring into conscious compassionate awareness the unexamined beliefs and assumptions that keep us from being fully alive now. This class begins October 26th.
Yes, and one of the things that I've been talking with people about is that I'm hoping that this opens up a lot of really good conversations for folks with their loved ones. I'm hoping that that's a big part of this, yeah.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah, fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Sherry, will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. This event is free and is part of the campus Contemplation by Design Summit. You'll talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically. Registration information can be found on the Living Compassion Schedule webpage.
Contemplation by Design?
Yes.
That's really an interesting phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
Contemplation by Design. Yeah. I got to ask them what that means when I see them.
Politics from Center, a group coaching opportunity, will offer support in mindfully engaging in a political activity in a way that challenges you to transcend fear and express deep caring in the world. The four-week coaching session includes facilitated conference calls and email check-ins. It starts November 29th.
Well, after the midterms.
Yes.
So this yes. is good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. This is yes,
the timing is probably, as always, exquisite.
Yes, 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 exactly. Celebrate courage, generosity, and family as part of the Africa Project and sign up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. You'll also want to mark your calendars to join the 2018 Bridge Walk in Cantalomba via live stream on December 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got the details on that. It's really interesting because my question was, we talked about this, right? Being up at 2 a.m. to be on open air. And how are we going to, how many people, really? Who's going to be up at 2 a.m.? But they have a plan for it. I'm really excited.
Okay.
It does not include me being up at 2 a.m.
Oh, and, great.
Yes, and speaking of this project, I hope, I don't know, Michael, maybe you and I can talk about it a little bit going forward. Because this is a switch for people. You know, usually it's the we're going to be at Chrissy Field and we're going to this and that. And this is
yes. It
for me. I just confessed my difficulty with too many steps in a process. And so I'm actually kind of looking for support and encouragement in doing this. I confess I have not started my fundraising efforts. And I've seen I've seen the campaign. I love the campaign. I think I mentioned this to you. You know, I was crying by group two of the and got
yes.
to the end of it and said, I want to fund all of that. And I haven't taken that step to get started. And a lot of it is just kind of a, where exactly do I start with this? So maybe you, because I know you're as passionate about that project as I am, and maybe at some point coming up that we can have a little conversation for anybody else out there who like me, is having trouble getting started. So
yes,
and, put that on our agenda.
Yes, and thanks to our great support team here. I just got a text message saying that we're going to do support calls on this process soon. So that's exciting.
Oh,
I think that'll
oh
be
good.
Great.
Oh, that's exciting and comforting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I can relax into. These folks
yeah.
who know what they're doing are going to walk me through it. Yay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Good. What's that quote? Knock and your
and you shall
receive, yeah,
and it'll be open. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's
all right.
Great. That's
good.
Great.
Thank you.
Sure. And finally, coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, features meditation, group discussions, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Yes, yes. And it will be chilly. And so if you need a cap to help keep you warm, we just got a new shipment of Make America Kind Again caps, so check that out at keepitsimple.org.
Mm-hmm. While they're in stock, yeah.
While they're in stock, exactly. Yes.
Yes, yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right, here
we go.
Like
to talk. Yes. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press star 6 and then 1 to make a show. And a 5-minute conversation that's focused on one topic is great.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Andrew. Can you hear me?
Hey,
okay?
Andrew.
Yes, you sound great.
I'll call him back about you told me before. Don't be a stranger and call back. Let us know how things are going with. Mm-hmm. Before I was calling about how I was drawn to, you know, obsessively watch these violent movie clips on TV and mm-hmm. how I was really uncomfortable and all that. And we talked about the nature of addiction and I was really hooked on the content, how I kept watching these things from action movies and stuff about shooting and all. And what I'm seeing today about it that I thought I would call in about was I felt really similarly into it. Made me think of the "Don't Feel Bad" slogan. Was mm-hmm. I felt really bad even though I was watching stuff about sports that it was totally different content. So it kind of took me to a different part of looking at this, which, as you know, I've been looking at for a long time. That it looks like I just is kind of more about shame of that, you know, any time that I watch TV, I should be doing something else. Yeah, you see what I mean?
Oh, so the violent thing was just to get you to believe that what you were being made to feel was because there was something wrong with the content of mm-hmm. what you're watching. And then you're watching something that there's really nothing wrong with the content, and you're still made to feel bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, now that's helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm feeling really confused right now. It's like,
so I'm more excited about this than you are, Andrew, at this moment?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because here's it's funny, we just talked about this on the How program this morning. Slightly different content, but I was just as excited because as long as you are believing that what you're feeling is as a result of something you're doing, mm-hmm. then your attention is going to be focused on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And trying to deal with what you're doing so that you won't feel bad. But once you see that you're made to feel bad, no matter what you do, you can drop any interest in the content, right? And just focus on, how does that happen? How am I made to feel bad? Because mm-hmm. that's the constant, right? Whether it's violence mm-hmm. over here or sports or romantic comedies or the news or whatever it is, you get it, that it doesn't matter. There's not going to be any content. You're watching TV or you are on your computer or you're Googling stuff on your phone or you're whatever, okay? So you should be doing something other than what you're doing. And what you get to see from that is the whole point is to make you feel bad. Mm-hmm. It'll say anything about anything and then shame you. So now you can put all of your attention on, how does that making me feel bad work? What do I hear? What do I believe? Where do I feel that? What does it feel like? Why do I think that feeling means that? What if that feeling meant I'm just hovering right here, teetering on the verge of enlightenment? What if what if those sensations mean I should be really happy and excited about life? What makes me believe that I should feel ashamed, that I should feel bad? Now you can bring all of your scientific scrutiny to the real issue.
Right, I did. I loved that we were talking about before. Is just take it as an experiment, and there were times that my data was very, what would you call it, unmitigated by a bunch of, you know, because the self-hate really just trashes the data. It just makes it totally biased. And, you know, there was a little bit of time where it was, you know, the data was crystal clear. Like, I was getting some really good experience with what is it like to just choose and be very conscious while I'm watching a TV show. And then it came back about how you should.
That's right.
A lot of times it's saying you should be doing something spiritual. It's so believable, you know.
That's right.
Obviously, I need a lot of practice with what you're saying of just
that's
going
right.
straight at the
that's right.
the shame.
Zeroing in on it. You should be doing something spiritual. Well, what the heck does that mean? What does that even mean? And if I said, well, Andrew, you should be doing something more spiritual, the first reasonable question would be, like what? What does that even mean? Yeah, it's got lots of answers, right? But when you follow those suggestions, they result in getting you to the same place, right? Sooner or later, you're going to wind up feeling bad in shame.
Okay.
Yeah. So how does that happen? And, you know, hopefully you're going to live to be a very old man. So there's plenty of time to explore this. So the voice says, well, you should meditate. Okay, that's good. I'll meditate. And then see, do you get a lot of points for that? Do you get a lot of praise? Do the voices say, yes, Andrew, this is wonderful. This is good. This is, now you're the right person. You should feel really good about it. Does it say that? If so, you want to get that on a recording, okay? Because you'll be the first human being who's ever heard that from ego after following one of ego's suggestions. So then you get to prove to yourself that thing about you should be doing something spiritual, it doesn't change anything. You do what it says, and you still get moved to the place of feeling bad. So it's good to prove these things to ourselves. You know, you don't want to take my word for it. You go through that enough times, paying attention the way you're paying attention, and you're going to get it. That's bogus. That's a lie. It's not true. That system is never going to let me feel good, no matter what I do. That's what we want to see.
It's making a lot more sense. Because that cuts through, I need to do this, I need to never watch TV, I need to, it's like, it, yeah.
Right. Yep. You will never succeed. Self-hate is hateful because it's hateful. It's not hateful because people are bad and wrong. Those voices beat people up because they can, because it gets the attention on ego. That's why. Not that people deserve to be beaten. Not that being beaten has ever made anybody a better person. So once we separate those, once we sort through that and realize that those voices are saying what they're saying for a very specific reason, and it has nothing to do with helping you be a better person or be happier or feel good. It has to do with taking all of the attention and turning it into the suffering that feeds ego. All right.
Yeah.
Onward and upward,
thanks.
Huh?
Yep.
You're very welcome.
Experimenting. I keep watching.
Good. And And just remember, there's nothing inherently a problem about anything. It's all happening in that conversation. Yep. All right.
I'll remember. Thank you.
Take good care of yourself.
I will. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrew. Sherry, I love that conversation. All the ways that ego bamboozles us and getting
yes.
the clarity around how that happens.
Yes. Yes. And we're just closing in, right? Just closing in that way. Well, it's watching TV. Oh, okay. So if I stop watching TV, I'll never get another beating. Oops. It just moved to something else, right? Okay. Yeah. And finally, you know, I'm just sitting on my little meditation cushion in the middle of a bare room, and it's still beating me up. Okay. All right. We don't really need to indulge this any longer.
Yeah. No, giving up, feeling bad.
Yeah. Just got to do it. Just got to bite the bullet and stop feeling bad.
Okay, great. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation in conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks about the Practice Recorder app for iPhone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, kind of related to our good news today also.
Yeah.
It's a great app for recording and listening. It's on sale in the iPhone's App Store on your iPhone, and it works with the new operating system, iOS 12. So I just want to mention that for folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of the pain out of that whole procedure, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Florida.
Well, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
It's great. We must keep meeting like this.
I know. I've listened to Open Air a long, long time, but I have never actually called in. So.
Wow. So I get to talk to you twice in one day. What's up?
Yeah, this, and also because I got really, I was thinking a lot about the assignment from this morning from the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should I give a little background?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because probably not everybody listening to this is doing that. Yeah.
So the assignment from yesterday was, what do you need to do? And today we were looking at how you got that information.
How you know that needs to be done. Mm-hmm.
And what has been very clear to me lately is that I need guidance on establishing structure in a way that is not in conditioning's hands.
Aha. Aha. Okay, say more about that.
So I alluded to that this morning, that probably since preteen years, I've had this huge anxiety around work. And I mean, schoolwork, university work, anything that requires a bit more of mental focus. And I realized the kind of barrage that I'm under when I'm doing that is, on the one hand, like I said this morning, how quote unquote awful and terrible and how long it'll go on, that whole campaign that's going. And simultaneously, there's a, and you're not smart enough or adequate to the task.
In spite of all the evidence to the contrary.
Huge evidence to the contrary. And it's awful because it then, if I do believe that, it's like, I wouldn't have studied what I studied if I hated it. And I, it takes away my love of literature in that moment, or it feels like it.
Oh, it well, and that's the point, right? That's kind of what we were just talking about with Andrew. That's the point, right? It's something that you love. That's what conditioning, that's what ego is going to go after, because that's what you're most easily tortured by. Right? So if, you know, it's so counter to what we're conditioned to believe, and yet that's our experience, right? So this is something that you love. It's what you want to do. You want to study this so that you can become proficient enough that you can earn your living doing this, I'm guessing. True. Yeah. And so, of course, ego is going to go after that. Self-hate is going to go after that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So what you're looking at then, knowing that, is how do you do what you need to do in order to be successful at this pursuit and enjoy it? How do you accomplish that? And what you've realized is you need to take the doing it out of the hands of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Because if it has its grubby little paws on any aspect of what you're doing, it's going to do everything it can to ruin it.
All of that rings 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what are you seeing about that, Chris? I mean, what do you have any strategies?
So one thing that I've done, which has been enormously helpful, is to kind of process map as I'm going.
Ooh, very good.
Which,
yes, very good.
The board. It absolutely flips the board on ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That is fabulous on so many levels. First of all, you have to stay present in order to do that. And the way we're most tortured, of course, is when we can get talked into going into conditioned mind and being in a conversation in there about, rather than being here in.
It gives me that, like the phrase of taking it out of its grubby hands is exactly what it feels like. It takes it right out, and I'm suddenly not being hunted, I'm hunting, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the biggest part of it. If you're going to process map as you go along with this, you have to be present to what's going on. And that puts the old kibosh on what ego is attempting to do. So just that right there. I was reading something and I was listening to something recently. Both these people as writers talking about a process that we call Zen awareness practice. But they don't do that, so they don't call it that. But what they were talking about is how it is essential that we make dates with and we keep the dates with, the intelligence animating us that is going to provide for us the information that we need to accomplish what we want to accomplish. So in your case, you're writing a thesis. And as you've probably noticed, one of the big things that the system, the ego system, wants to do is talk you out of doing that, right? So you don't feel like it, you're too busy, all these other things come up. Now, maybe you've worked through that. This is wonderful. If not, it's a really critical piece of it. And what is required is to say, I'm going to start writing every morning at 10. And I'm going to write for 2 hours, and then I'll take a break. And then I'll start writing again at 3, and I'll write till 5. Okay? And ego will do everything to distract you from that. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And your commitment is to show up and sit there ready. Now, you've got the extra added process map going, right? And so there you are. You're ready. You're ready for the wisdom, the intelligence to come through you, right? And maybe it does or maybe it doesn't. Okay? Maybe you have to sit there for a half hour before you come up with anything that you want to write down, right? Maybe you write down a bunch of stuff and then you decide it's no good, whatever it is. But you're there and you're ready. You're doing your part, right? And maybe it takes a half hour, and then pretty soon you realize it's really, I only have to sit there for 10 minutes before I feel really present and inspired and ready to go. And then pretty soon, it's just you're walking to your desk and you feel it. Or you're in the shower and here it comes. It's coming through and you can't wait to get there and write this down.
Wow.
We were talking about this with something else. I don't know what it was. But it's with the recording and listening. That when Jan and Ashwini were saying, you know, it's all a practice. And this, what we're talking about right here, is the same thing. It is all a practice. It is all of life. That process is how we're free.
That wow was in reference both to what you were saying, which was incredibly helpful, but also to this giant smack dab insight I got while listening, which is that ego has been making a gigantic contest out of this.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that until just this moment.
Uh-huh.
Because
you know how you realized that, Chris? You were really present.
Mm-hmm. And I love that language of making a date with the intelligence animating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That showing up.
And that's what makes it so practice, right? Because the wisdom, love, and compassion that animates us isn't going to make us be successful, right? It's not going to force us to write something brilliant. We have to do our part, and that is as simple as showing up, being present, paying attention, being open, being receptive. And here it comes.
Yes, someone alluded to this recently in our class and said, I like the way she phrased it, that it's almost like it's not pushy. It's not like it's going to hunt us down and force us to show up.
That's right. That's right. But if we show up, we are so rewarded. All right.
All right. Thank
Keep
you so much.
Keep having fun, okay?
I will.
You are so welcome. All right. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Sherry, what dropped in during that conversation was that nothing holds up under scrutiny. And it seems like that's what we're doing in practice all the time is scrutinizing everything that conditioning is doing.
Yes, and just staying there, being open to it, just noticing it, letting it pass through. Okay,
uh-huh.
Good, all right, and then, you know, it's like we're becoming Teflon, right? It's got nothing to stick to. We're not fighting. We're not resisting. Chris said, you know, we're not making a contest. We're not entering into that. It's just whatever. You know, I'm sitting here waiting for that which animates me to offer the insight that is available to me to receive. That's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Because very often, when especially if people don't have any kind of awareness practice, they sit down to do a project like that. You know, it could be days before anything shows up that they want to that they feel inspired to write down or to keep.
Yes.
Right. But that's okay. We're basically demonstrating our willingness, demonstrating our sincerity.
Yeah, fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hey. Oh, I'm so happy to be here, and this has just been so much fun to listen to, and there's so many things that I just love to talk about. So just so many things. I too would love to talk about the radio show today, but I have had something I've wanted to say for a really long time. So, and it's about the morning show. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. I had the funnest experience when, remember back when we were writing a description, a very detailed description of ourselves, you know, how our mother saw us and how our father saw us and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I wrote that, and then I emailed my mom and I said, I'm in this year-long retreat and the assignment is to write a very detailed description of how you see me. And I thought maybe you'd like to write that, like maybe that would be fun for you. And so I wrote how I thought she saw me. And then what she wrote back, she kept writing me. She said, the memories are just flooding in. And she wrote me like two pages of all these little vignette memories that were just so cute. And it was so much fun. I hope it was fun for her. I loved it so much. And she included my sister in it too, you know, my sister and my brother. So I think she kind of saw us all as we were the kids, you know, kind of.
That's right. You're her children.
Yeah. And so two things about that. First of all, it was really interesting how I thought she would do the assignment, which was totally not how she did it at all. And you know, like I asked you I asked you to write this description of how you see me, and what she did is she told stories pointing to whatever it was she was seeing. It sort of left open ended for interpretation, but I interpret it all as very dear. And and the other thing I saw about that is how different I think she sees me than how I thought she saw me, which is really interesting too. And you know, and it's none of it matters. It's just that holding, you know, holding these beliefs about what my parents thought about me, or you know, or what anybody thinks about me, and then when I actually checked it out, it was very, very different.
It sounds like a truly wonderful projection exercise.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It really was, and it's which is kind of like we can, you know, I've said this before, as long as we're making it up, we can project whatever we want to. It may as well be something good. And,
yes. Well, you know, and sounds like your mother did like you.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, that's the other thing. The other part of it was that it was kind of like she was writing about somebody else almost. I mean, I could relate to it. I could see myself in it. But there was this sense of what matters now is what we have now, kind of. I hope I'm saying that.
Yes.
But it's like,
it's
fun to look back on those things, and they were sweet stories and all of that. But she's the mom that I would have always wanted when I was little. But who knows what I was projecting then, you know, or what she was projecting or what was going on. But it's like, you know, it's just fun that I finally, not finally, but I have that now. I have this mother that I really treasure and love, and I love to be with her.
Yeah. And that you could say, I'm doing this retreat, and the assignment is, and would you? And she says, sure. And sits down, and I'm sure, you know, you're a mother, I'm a mother. Being asked that kind of thing would be a delight, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course I want to tell you, of course.
Yeah.
Because even if we have a good, loving relationship with our kids, there are very few opportunities to just go on and on and on about how fabulous we experience them to be, because it would be embarrassing for them. So to get to do that and recall those things and share it and have somebody want to receive it, that's heartwarming stuff.
Yeah, it was really heartwarming, and I don't know, and that all of that we did with our parents, all of those exercises around, how did your mother distance herself from you, and how did your father distance yourself, and how do I distance myself? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, I am them. I have so many of their traits.
Right. Yes.
And, and most of them I really appreciate, and I'm really grateful that I have a lot of these traits
you are your version of them.
Yeah.
Right? Because in this same way, this lovely projection exercise way, if you were to ask them, it is doubtful that they would list the same traits. So one of the kind of a fun exercise that we've done over the years is in a relationship workshop, a couples workshop. So there's the couple, and you do these with the couple. You know, what does your partner admire most about you? What does your partner struggle with the most about? You know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And you write them down, and then you get together and compare them. And of course, they don't have anything to do with each other, right? It's so wonderful to have a chance to see how much our experience of the world is uniquely ours.
Yes. Isn't it? And I mean, as I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking, you know, what I see is all the similarities. And I'm wondering, I think people that I don't know, but I'm imagining a lot of people would see all the similarities, but there's also all the how differently I've lived my life, and just how my life has gone, and how, you know, and it just was really fun, and it really gave me a lot of insight into just I don't know that, how would I say it, the just sort of the karma of being born into a family, and this is just where I landed, like, and this is what I grew up with, and this is what I had, and this is how it sort of played out, and this is what I have to work with, and I don't think I'm, it's, oh, go ahead.
Well, to me, what the value in what you're seeing and saying is, it helps us disidentify.
Yeah.
It moves us into a place of, I hope, taking responsibility for our lives, moving out of any clinging notions that my life is somehow somebody else's fault, or if somebody if somebody had done something differently, then I would, you know, it helps us let go of all of that and just realize that, as you say, this is the karma of this human being, and this is the this is what I get to work through diligently.
Yeah.
And to look at all that we've been given, all that we've received. And I think we were talking about this morning, but I can't really remember, that stepping back from an adult perspective and seeing our parents and seeing them not through the eyes of a child, which is how so many people go through their lives, really believing that their parents were the people that child experienced. But to disidentify and get to that place of, we're all doing the best we can all the time.
Yes. Yeah. And and there's a ton of gratitude for the whole thing. You know, there's so much gratitude because, I don't know, it's just all, it's all brought me to where I am, and it's, I don't know. It's just a very...
Because you're just grateful.
I'm just completely grateful. I am. I mean, grateful.
That's what it really comes down to, right?
Yeah.
You're grateful for your life. And when we move to that place of, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for my life. Then I'm grateful for everything that happened to me that got me to this place of being able to be grateful for my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for being grateful.
Yep. And I'm incredibly grateful for the people that my parents are, and my dad was, you know, he's gone now, but just, I'm incredibly grateful for who they were, and looking as an adult, as a grown-up, looking at how hard they worked and how, you know, I can see their intention, their intentions were amazing, but, you know, it just, anyway... I guess that's it, but it's just been really, really fun, and thanks for letting me talk about it, because I know it's behind us, but it stayed with me, and as all these assignments do, they're just wonderful, so thank you.
You're very welcome. We talk about it regularly. I continue to be really grateful. I didn't come up with this class, as I freely admit. Ashwini was the one who said, oh, I think this would be a great thing to do. And quite frankly, I was thinking, I don't see it. And it has been one of the most transformative projects that we have ever done as a sangha. I'm right there with you. It has been and it continues to be remarkable. All right, well, thank you Karen.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, Michael.
Okay.
Bye, Sherry.
Bye, Sherry. Thanks for joining us, Karen. I love that, Sherry, of being grateful for being grateful.
Yes, because you know, a lot of people aren't, and it's not their fault.
Yes.
You know,
right.
It's not their fault. It's just for something happened, and we are, and it's the most wonderful way to live, and it's a It's a wish that we would have for every human being to get to that place of being able to feel gratitude, to see their lives as a gift.
Yeah.
It's not a given.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. It's lovely.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, Sherry.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye.